we have suspense here, you know, from, I don't know, Terry Mason or whatever the, those guys' names are on TV. Evening after evening, you switch on the local news, you know, Southside woman killed, fire here, so and so many corpses. Vietnam results, in quotation marks, come right in, so and so many communists slaughtered, or killed, or enemy, and so on. We like this, you know, and not to mention the people who run out into the streets when somebody screams help and just watch it, right? Love the blood. No traffic accidents. Nobody helps, you know, but they love this. What is it in us? You know, I only want to point at this, but I think we are not doing enough against it right now, against this crime, you know, so that maybe there's something that we like, that we also think there is something great, or as many people think there's something existentially important about it. Again, I don't want to give an answer, but certainly in a watered-down form, you know, we find this in our TV world, in our whatever we have. Again, something that is not new, or which just comes up again at certain times and then hopefully will soon vanish again in our time also. In the wake of this, specific of this, what is called black magic in this one little sector that we had, again, let's say that the evil is the basic principle, that God as Satan created evil first and the world just reflects. There's one more thing connected with it, and this is, of course, when you believe in this, also when you are convinced that there are no absolute values, there are actually only two possibilities that you will have. Then either you indulge in the opposite of good morals, or opposite of values. In other words, you do what also then has been called black morals. In other words, you do everything that is mean, that is against the laws, against the established thing. You are entirely, let's say, subjective. You only have your own no moral, so to speak. And or the other possibility is, and this is, I think I've been chatting much too long, the other possibility is you do absolutely nothing. But you do not care what is going on, you drift, you hold a flower in your hand, I didn't say that. You do nothing. Now again, something that has been there again and again and again. You know that the flower was a symbol of the German Romantic movement? The blue flower as a symbol for the search of the universe? Or that also a term when you don't do a thing, you know, the so-called laxism has been there again and again and again. It's again, as we go back to the beginning, it is this Hamlet attitude. To do this, to do that, to, I don't know, and the result is you do not revenge, you don't do anything. You just sit and hope, maybe, that something will come up. As a student who was here the other day said, something exciting will come up. What do you do next year? I don't know. Something exciting will come up. What we get from these are historical remarks put very shortly. What we get from it maybe is we get an assertion that whatever we are experiencing right now is can be thought of in a relative way. It is not that the world will come to pot right now, but we can see it has been in these straits many, many times before, and maybe it'll come out of it just as fast as it did before. Period. Definite answers I cannot give, so why don't we just discuss this a little bit? What do you think? Do you think that is helpful if we put it maybe in an historical context, what we try to do this week, not only in literature, now also in thinking?
Well, I'm also glad for that statement there, because when you think there are no absolute values, then why is there no?
Either you do the opposite of it or you do nothing. And again, this has been done again. If you don't have any, you destroy whatever there is, without putting up new ones, of course. No, think nowadays of the what we had in another forum. You know, I'm not that familiar with the American student movement, but with the German student movement. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you destroy what's there. What do you want to substitute it with? Who cares? Right? First, destroy everything. Or you just say, what will this destruction amount to eventually? Nothing.
Did that sort of thinking and acting hit Germany before it hit us?
Oh yes, they are much more radical. As usual, I would say. Isn't it?
But is this because of a lack of the historical, that they don't have an understanding of...
What are you talking about? Are you talking about the students now?
Yes,
students?
I'm talking about
I don't know, this
students.
Would get us a little bit in the,
yeah.
on the sidetrack, I would say. Yes, but it, I only wanted to pick out of this movement, you know, the destruction at the beginning is the main thing. They, the Germans know where they are going to eventually. But first of all, destroy what is there, because it isn't worth it. Or the other thing is, this may be more the American student move, do absolutely nothing, rebel at certain issues, but what comes out of it? Grow long beards and look very sad. I've never seen more sadder students in my life than the ones that are graduating right now. Isn't it? From this feeling, what do? Who cares?
Have there been any psychological studies? Evidently, there's a need for this within the human being.
Could you say for what?
I said psychologically, there must be a need for this.
You mean for the opposite?
For the
this manneristic.
For the turnover, for the breakthrough. And the, it seems to be a sort of a creative, evolutionary type of thing. And, we get too much settling down in our minds and our spirits. We get tense, bored, and uptight. I think this is true for a lot of people. Nostalgically, we always reach back for a classic title.
Mm-hmm.
But practically, we can't stand it.
Yeah.
What makes us that way? You know, why are we? Why do we like a band and get our boots on and start marching again? Then throw away the boots and stop marching.
Yeah.
A fear of the status quo, I would
think. I think it's an organic thing. Maybe it has something to do with sunspots.
Yeah, I don't know, I wouldn't attempt to give an answer.
No,
to
I mean, but the,
but
this
is
almost
at the bottom of it.
There's almost an organic thing that's going on. You can talk sociologically, you can talk historically,
right.
But it comes along like the rats running through the maze. And the question is, how can we stick with it, you know? We must stick with it because we're bred that way or something. That's very, behavioristic? And it's everything. It says we're at the moment, maybe stuck with it unless we get regenerated. Some people aren't stuck with it. I think this is the difference. I think Carol this morning was sort of, you don't have to be stuck with it, you know. You can actually live a different way. But historically, that's been going on since, traditionally, the Garden of Eden.
We don't know why. We just see, well, you are faced with, let's say, some disorder. You don't know who you are. What do? You classify, you order, you build something. You build this house. After some time, you don't like it anymore. You know, it gets so boring. Okay, you destroy it again. You see, that in the destruction, that's where life is. You know, now we are alive. We are not just like I don't know, computers. Finally, we live. Hooray. And then again, we are faced with it.
Youth wants action, generally speaking.
Yeah, but so does my aunt want new furniture. You know, she wants a new living room all the time. She gets through one, and she does a little while, and says, there's something wrong here. Move the chairs, move the tables, get over here. Oh, how does that work? I think what I need is a new chair. And I mean, so you talk about youth and action. My aunt's 70 years old, and she's going through it about every other day.
Huh?
No, she's not. She's all neurotic.
Right.
Well, she is. That's why she's seeing a doctor. She can't figure out why she has to move the furniture all the time. And so I think it would be very wrong for anybody to say, this is a youthful thing. My God, it's going on in all of us. You know, nobody's sitting around here who doesn't have this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only it may also be something organic, you know, that the older you get, in most cases, your aunt accepted, the less you want to fight.
Yeah.
Now you just more or less give up and say, well, isn't this living room nice? And why don't we just sit there and stretch out our feet, you know, and watch TV or whatever it is, I mean, figuratively speaking.
Of course, this is the value of history, though, of understanding history and realizing that that you don't change things, that there is no ideal. And, the younger people don't realize that yet.
Oh, yes, they do, but they think they can change it.
That's it. Well, I
right. And the oldest is, well, there will never be a real change. So please let me sit in my chair. I like it so much, right? getting quotation marks. But again, historically, seem to answer your question, most of these movements were youth movements, definitely.
Well, if you look,
they were younger ones.
The phenomenon of the '50s, you know, where there was no, where there was very little action, you know, in our, my generation, and my theory, on this assignment, you know, we came out of World War II. I was very young, and I was in the service in World War II. I was very young, and I took all of the aggressiveness out of them. Youth is full of aggression. I took it all out of them. The time I went to college, we didn't care. We didn't want to, you know, talk about politics. We didn't want to get involved in politics. We had a march on the street. Well, this, the youth of today have been raised in an entirely different milieu. This is an affluent society. They're satiated. They've experienced everything.
This again is historically true, right? This has,
they've had an unpopular war. They haven't had a popular war like World War II was, where it was good against bad.
No, it was winning against losing. World War II could not be lost, right? It was impossible.
That's right. It couldn't be lost, and it was a popular war in this country, whereas they've had this
war.
So, you know, I think a lot of the street movement has been a reaction. First of all, they need action. Youth needs action. You know, you can say all ages need, but they especially. And I think that a lot of it has been that sort of thing. They need some action, and they don't really have any popular action. They don't have a popular war to fight, and they don't have they need a cause.
So you just think it is energy, youthful energy
cause, some aggression, aggressiveness.
That must be channeled.
I don't agree with that, because I've been getting the freshman students now. And it's changed. These kids have grown up with, in their high school was 68, very tense years, 69, 70, and they're coming into school, and they don't want action. They think talking about Vietnam and racism is trite. They want to back away from it. They make a few feeble efforts to be radical as a fad, you know. They look a little radical. But they just don't want it. I don't think you can just say that a youth wants, action. I don't think you can do that. They're already tired of it. They've seen the Vietnam War on TV since they were 10 years old. They've had it.
So it's become a force.
Huh?
So it's become a force.
Well, they're
not. I don't know.
So maybe their action is to be passive.
Or be passive. Well, you know, thank you. I think this, did this start on pendulum? Why does it swing?
Yeah, this is, I think, what he interests himself to, didn't you, about this? Why does it swing? What makes it swing? Is it organic or not?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying, but I think it's happening now. We just hit a rapid thing, 65, 66, 67, 68. Real action. Now, what you're hitting, as I understand it, I've been checking in some freshman classes, too, to find out whether this is pathological. There's a sullen dullness, which is something we haven't, they aren't moving. Some universities are so concerned about their freshman class, they don't know what they got in their hands. Because they don't do anything.
And they were set up for the worst radical class. That was the idea. You know, these classes are going to get more radical, more radical. And now they come in and they say, good Lord, you know, what is this?
They don't act as they expected.
Some have said that already the counter-movement is taking place.
Well, it isn't movement, I don't know.
The pendulum is swinging back. The European student movement, they definitely turn to something constructive, whether we like it or not, but this is communism. They think, here it is, that's what we are building on, eventually. Right? This is not the destruction anymore, and they definitely know where to go.
You see, during the drought and the depression, I don't know how many went through the 30s in North Dakota, did any of you? Well, you know what it was like.
Last month in Texas.
It finally set in, you know, first 1 year goes by and you say, well, we got that one under our belt. Nothing on the ground. Then comes year two. You're getting a little bit uptight. Pretty soon, after it wears on and on, you get tired. And the biggest problem that we have, I was just a kid, but my dad was pastor. But what I saw setting in then was what I'm seeing now. And I'm just wondering whether what you said, these kids have seen nothing but depression since the day they were born. I need depression. I don't care how many toys they have. I don't care how much stuff we do. But they've been in an oppressive situation. My daughter was just going to, the youngest one going to college. She said, Dad, you realize I don't know what it's like not to turn the television on without getting a body count? He says, do you understand how that must feel? That I've never had, I didn't get the fifth. You got those. I didn't get them. I mean, so you turn on the television every morning and say, so many more dead. That's a spiritual thing that's happening. Finally, the kids are saying, you can't beat this. He's still doing that. You know, come up and tell you. Here it is. I can do it for you. I'll get them out. I'll settle it for you. They don't believe any of that anymore. And I think that's where I see it psychologically, that's where I think this is different than any other time in history, simply because we've got that tool. You can get depressed a lot faster now than you could back in the Renaissance.
What about the 30 Years' War in Europe?
Yeah, but I mean, you couldn't communicate. It was all over. That must have been, I don't know much about history, but that must have been a real pain.
Yes. And it lasted longer even than the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I know.
And once the war was over, then you have these unemployed mercenaries who were worse than the soldiers. No, they had nobody paid them anymore, and so every farm they saw, that's ours, you know.
I think they rationalize a lot. They use the war for rationalizing a lot.
This is the first time the war has been brought to America, though. I don't believe that. I don't believe it because I see again from the 30s, I don't believe it. I think it's psychological, and I can say organic. I think that human beings cannot tolerate that much nonsense. I mean, we just strive for something. This is nonsense. We have the most stupid thing we've ever been in our lives. And we keep saying, let's have another year of stupidity. Just one more year. Intellectually, we can't take one more year of stupidity, you know? Anymore. I don't think anybody in this room can stand it much longer. You go down the street corner, people are glaring at each other. Go to the bus terminal, the airplane. My dad pushes old ladies away from the lunch counter once in a while. He's a kind man. You know? Yeah. I said, what are you doing? I say, I think all of us want something else. We're caught.
But this is new for America, though. This is the first time the war has actually come into the living room. Europeans have been living with it since time immemorial. They actually used to see it firsthand. They'd come raiding across the borders, or the Turks, for instance. The Greeks were fighting continually. The Germans.
They still are.
Yeah,
Turks
still
and
are.
Greeks.
Still are. But this is the first time we have.
Right.
We have actually.
Maybe different
it.
Here. Yeah. But since the United States is a part of Western tradition, you know, maybe the imminent sits at a different place. But otherwise, I think it is historically seen. It is not that different. Yes.
Well, what about the helplessness of the young people to bring about any change in the draft laws? They keep waiting and waiting for Congress to act.
Yeah, I don't know, I can't give any ready answers, but it is again this, so what, you know, I couldn't care less. What can I do? What can I do against General Motors or a big corporation or anything, you know? Here we come up with anti-pollution laws, you know, in Chicago you see that, and U.S. Steel just goes on polluting, you know, and nobody can do anything against U.S. Steel, obviously. And what does a youngster do, you know? Who wants to, let's say, be a pollution engineer or something like this, you know? It's ridiculous. But at this feeling, so the result is either rebel, and then what for? But, or you do absolutely nothing. This Hamlet figure again. Right? What for? What they call laxism, you know, just I couldn't care less, hold a flower in your hand. Or do nothing. Nothing will amount to anything. Just sit there. That's wrong. Did you have your hand up while you're playing with your pencil?
Yes, both.
Okay, start with the hand first.
Henning, would you just take a look at the manneristic art of the generation that we have just been describing here? What does it say? Now, just briefly, you know, in one of the other discussions, we mentioned a man like Peter Matz, who's not a child anymore.
he's an old man now, but he has his lot of disciples. The colors, the mode of expression, the joy which comes through in spite of the long faces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The style of graduations, for example, this year at most colleges, I really can't think of anything that's more sad and drab and anything that best expresses hopelessness than mortar boards and black gowns.
Yeah, but they are disposable nowadays, which is marvelous.
but who did that? And why? Seems to me that there might be something said for digging something other than the external. And I believe, as you believe, that the art forms which come as a result of the involuntary movement of a hand, say at a piece of canvas or a piece of cloth or a piece of paper, may say something much more than the outward expressions which we read, either on the face of youth or not so youthful people.
May I introduce a magazine I recommend very highly, Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the very women's prophetic piece. Now let me, rock music and all that stuff, this is coming up. Hey, Larry, what Minister Ford says, it's great to be all right. It's a detail, and I mean it's real meaning. There's some words in here you won't like, but you might not like. But they conduct, now what Minister Ford showing up a Rolling Stone magazine, one of the greatest thinkers of our time. And in detail, interviews with people like this are going after real thinkers, some of these prophets. And they know rock music is on the way. They've known this now for about 2 years. They find out, they say, those records aren't going to sell well. We're done with that. But we're moving ahead. And it's strange that they can't put a man of Buckminster Fuller's caliber as being their hope. Which I think is just phenomenal. When you talk about the younger generation, they recognize something like Bucky Fuller, and say he deserves eight pages in this magazine. That's he did the geodesic dome for some of you who don't know him, one of the greatest competitors of our time. And then he says, only got one word for hope, it's God. And that's not a Lutheran magazine,
And certainly we can't let ourselves become his follower. We're sampling the Christian goodness. I remember a play, American play, that popular several years ago, 10, 15 years ago, Maxwell Anderson's Journey to Jerusalem. And the theme of that play was this, that if you maintain your personal integrity and Christian joy, then the whole world will pop into the ground you and you will still have this victoriously. And so I think we can't individually become this problem. That doesn't mean we have to fight the devil like the devil.
I see the whole problem of the work in art. I'm a classic 71. And I don't have a small school machine that's standing there that I can buy for graduation. There's 75 kids that he's up there. He doesn't say a thing. He lets the teacher out. He doesn't inspire to do anything. That's a school. Art is just something that's really hard now for us. I need to go to the school. It's just killing me off really. I have been, nothing has been shown for me to create
I think we've seen something new though in this 72 presidential election, because of the 18-year-old vote now, there are going to be 20 million voters and 25 million voters. And this, I think, is a...
It may also be a more general phenomenon again, and you see that almost every word, the great center, the leader, we call it in literature or in art, uncensored, but you have this also in social structure. So I don't want to... where is the outstanding college president? There are maybe two or three or four in the United States. Otherwise, the vice presidents control. They sit in some big chairs, you know, and pull the thread. But the one who gives the speech, right, at graduation is a zero.
Right. But I still sit there and high school in the city.
Yeah, there's something. You come from a small school,
yeah.
and I get kids. I'm in Iowa University. Kids from small schools just seem to be kind of confused about things a lot of the issues, because they haven't had it in their school, yet they've seen it on TV for a while. But the people from the larger schools have been studying ecology, racism, et cetera, for 3 or 4 years in school. It's been a topic, and they get to, by the time I get them, they just don't want to do that. At a time when all the books most of the books that I'm supposed to use, texts I'm supposed to use, are irrelevant, you know. And they get this stuff and they say, you know, bull, I don't want that. We've had that crap all the way through. And I'm going back to Cardinal Newman, you know, going back to Mark Twain, et cetera, I've tried the end things, and they just don't work. They don't want to hear anymore about that. They want something solid. And Will, you said something about the art forms, you know, and Max and everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite get it. It was more like freer forms.
I see celebration. I see hopefulness. I see colors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all pastel. I only see what is being described around here when it's being subjected to the sort of critical evaluative analysis by people who are obviously robbed of the sensitivity to do that thorough. There's another step, and that is seeing, you know, the brighter side of the quote movement. You know, if there is such a thing as movement.
Yeah.
And this is what I was talking about. And I was asking Henning, you know, if he, you know, when he looks at some of the new art forms, and it is manneristic, you know, I have no argument with that, what does he perceive in that?
I don't know whether I would call. I didn't really answer this. Something else. It is hard to predict the future. It's impossible. And I am not so sure whether I would call this manneristic. I think there is this little flame, you know, coming up, which is already the indication of the counter-movement. And what you called this joy, you know, this, let's say, a search for something genuine, but though it's simple, this is, to me, the indication of it. For instance, look, when some of you might have been down the shaft the other day when there was a lot of poetry reading and singing. Look at these songs. Now, you can almost speak of a guitar movement here among the young people, isn't it? These guitar songs in general, no, they are not manneristic anymore.
They're not?
No, I don't think so. As you said, they are very, very, very pastel. You know, that's a little fragile plant or a flower that's going to grow. And that is you see the joy in it. To me, this is also, it's a good sign. And I think the other one has crested, but again, I don't want to make any predictions. Only I would not call this manneristic.
You would.
Did you say what manneristic meant already?
Yes, yeah. For the whole week.
But you know, in reading Hightower, he sees it in the engineering schools and altogether different. And I guess he sees both in San Francisco State. I'm not that familiar with it. But he sees this pastel in English and in social studies, but in the engineering school, he sees this bright optimism, and he expounded on that a bit. We just get a weekly column, and I really enjoy it. Have you read some?
Yes. I've often commented. You know, I knew Hightower when he couldn't see much, and I've said, if Hayakawa can see that, it has nothing to do with, you know, the peculiar characteristics of his ethnic upbringing, etc., the slant eyes and all of that. But if he can see, then most people ought to be able to. And I think that San Francisco State itself is starting to reflect a little bit of that now. It's probably, well, I share his on evaluation. This movement has more promise than most movements, and as Paul was saying, it probably will last as long as Frank Sinatra did.
Coincidentally, on that aside, as far as him not singing, I picked up a book, and this was written in 1941 by Hayakawa, and while he was an assistant professor of English at the University of Illinois, it was on somatic, excellent, outstanding, Language in Action was the name of it. And in reading it, he was quite prophetic. If you haven't read it, you really ought to.
Hayakawa says our big problem is a matter of communication and general semantics. He thinks that all times aren't that bad.
There's something about that, a little on this joy. And yet, I think, like in poetry, people are trying to, or the younger people, like at Iowa, are trying to find something to affirm, but they're finding it very difficult because they really don't believe, you know, they write something that affirms something. Both the author doesn't believe it, the readers don't believe it. Try a romantic piece, he's going to shake their heads. He decides to don't believe that. It isn't sad enough. And yet, things are going, at least in the poetry there, is going much more to form than it has been in the last, I'd say, 10 years. Trying to learn some of the classical forms, trying to learn what rhythm is all about, instead of not worrying about it, just kind of flowing, you know, letting your mind just rattle on. And the movement will be to poetry that affirms life and poetry that has form that poetry hasn't had in 50 years. Who's writing it now? Huh?
I could.
Well, what I'm telling you, these are people between the ages of 35 and under. 35 to 21. Something like that. People up to what the writers were checking. Hmm?
Who is the one now?
The phone call. I
think the fellow who writes poetry and...
Brad McKeown is the biggest joke in the world.
Well, thank God, because he's insipid. But he sells millions. Who's buying?
I think the class that I got this year.
Is that right?
And single female high school teachers by a lot.
Very good. I think she's...
You would hardly call him a joke, would you?
Well, that'd be
hard. I hope that. That
would
be terrible.
The swing and the pendulum kind of excuse me, our economic future, coming from Dell, where wonderful about what I've been retrieving. I think just has shown up all of a sudden that they're worried about something. I teach in community college in a vocational area of practical nursing, and already our class this fall is filled, and many of them are young girls, 18, 19, and they have kind of a choice of what is the community right now, the choice of, you know, higher high school grade, because they want something that they can use as a lesson. And I don't know if this is a school, I'm sober.
And again, Historically seen, you can see that these mannerist movements have mostly come after a period of decay. Right, so maybe if, when you have this economic decay, that this was an indication of it. I don't know. Just, on the other hand, you have the outside question. You mentioned wars, you know, 30 years war and so on. That was also supported in the beginning. And then, uncomfortable. But it's very hard to predict.
You said that several times. It's very hard to predict. But
yeah, it depends, you know. To me, at least when I first thought about this, you know, just as vaguely as we did it here, I think it was, I felt better. You know, this that you don't have the feeling, this is a unique thing and we are just, what's going to happen and so on. You felt part of a long tradition, and this meant it, the bad things were not altogether bad anymore. Right? It was more like a law of this world. But this is a personal reaction, and I cannot really say, I'm not God, you know, I cannot say the in 1975 the pendulum will be here, right, and then it'll swing. We can just later on see and say, look what happens. And then also it depends on your eyes, of course. What do you want to see? But most of this art has been considered bad till about 15, 20 years ago. As I said, they are hidden in caves. There were never Czech anthologies, common anthologies of poetry. You will not find manneristic art in it. Rarely, maybe, but will you find them? But not much. And this is, we have just learned to see there are two different kinds, and one isn't good and the other one is bad. But they are just two different, equally, let's say, outstanding forms of expression or thinking. But I don't know how fast it's going to be. I just personally think that our manneristic movement that started at the end of the 19th century has crested now and it's on its way down. But I may change my mind tomorrow. And when is the choir rehearsal? I don't want to run into Feeney's choir rehearsal time.
Over.
No. It's either 10:15 or 10:30.
No.
Sometimes, not.